name is Brian, and I'm on the advisory leadership team here at Main Street Church. And I get to share with you guys this morning. And, you know, as I look around this room, what I see is I see a bunch of friends and family. I see truly that this is our Main Street family. And sometimes, as a family, we go through hard things together. And it's that, right? Like, for those of you that maybe, I think everybody probably knows, but, you know, we're in a unique situation as a six-month-old church that is just starting and just kind of getting our legs under us. We are going through a transition. Our lead pastor, Jason, has felt like he needs to step away from Main Street for himself and for his family. And that's always hard as a church. It doesn't matter what stage you're in as a church. But for us, I know there's a lot of us in this room, including myself, that have this feeling of uncertainty. Like, what's next? Like, what is God going to do here? And I just want to take a second just to acknowledge that it is a challenge. Like, it'll be a challenge for us going forward. But with that said, I also want to say something, which is, I believe that when we started Main Street Church, it was started with the idea that we are going to pursue the presence of God wholeheartedly. We have a value as a church that says that we want to have this continuous dependence on God. That it's because of Christ that we have relied on God's presence, power, and provision for transformation in our lives and in our community. And I don't know about you, but in the last 6 months, we have seen God not only show up, his presence felt here in this room, in this space, but he has shown up out in the community. We have seen new leaders emerge. Evan, Kevin, Mary, the list goes on of the people that are saying, like, I want to step in to what God's doing. I want to experience God's presence. We have seen a house church plant that is growing. And on top of the house church, we've seen life transformation happen. We've heard testimonies and story after story of how God is working and changing lives. And that has been happening in this short time as a church. We've seen baptisms happen both here and in the house church. I hear there's another one coming, which is super exciting. If you have a hot tub, you want to donate to the house church evening so that they don't have to freeze in this tank, they would probably appreciate it. But that's awesome. God's at work, right? We've seen life transformation. And as I think about that, as a leadership, we're praying that the community, that our family would experience life transformation. It is naive of us to think that that would not also happen for us as leaders. And the fact that it's happening, to me, speaks to just how effective God is and how faithful God is. God's been at work. God's been at work at Jason's life and in Catherine's life and his kids' lives. They've poured out into this community. They've all served in some capacity. But God's also moving in their lives. And I think that's a powerful story. And that's something that we want to share in. And we get an opportunity this morning to get to hear. So I just want to invite Jason up. You know, I said it last week. There was a smaller group here last week, but you know, Jason and I have known each other for over 25 years, and you know, kind of started as youth pastors in the district. And I remember when he was making the move to come to Portland, that hearing his heart for church planting was inspiring, and I felt like, man, what am I doing? And at the same time, as we would sit around and just talk shop and talk ministry and talk what it looks like to see life transformation happen. I remember just thinking in that moment that, like, man, it would be so cool if someday, it'll probably never happen, but it would be so cool that at some point we could work together. And we've got to do that for the last couple of years. So that's been super special, and I'm very appreciative of it. And so, like, I think for a lot of us, we feel that weight a little bit of a loss. But I've also, as I've gotten a chance to just hang out with Jason this last week and just hear his story, I think it's significant. And I think it's a significant message for us as a church. And so, Jason, if you could just, sorry, I got to go to my questions. I think the first thing I just want to say, now that I've gotten us a little emotional, but how are you doing?
Yeah, let's see. It's good to be back. It's been 2 months, and I've missed y'all, so thank you. We were driving here this morning, and my wife handed me, she says, I don't know if you'll need these, but she gave me a wad, and I was like, I probably won't need those, but I needed them over there before I even got up here, man, so.
I think they played one of your favorite songs earlier.
Yeah. I'd be lying to you if I told you that it's been probably the most painful season of my life, to be honest. At times, overwhelming. And I'll get into this in a little bit, but just overwhelmed by literally decades worth of junk that I've never faced. Stuff that I've avoided, minimized, compartmentalized, put it in a box over here so I could manage it and control it and not have to feel it. And so for the last 2 months, I've just been feeling it intensely, and that's pretty overwhelming for a dude who doesn't like to feel bad things. I don't know if any of you can relate to that if you're an avoider of bad feelings. I am. Painful, overwhelming at times, but also hopeful. I feel really hopeful. I feel hopeful for my relationship with Kathy. I feel hopeful for Main Street Church. I feel hopeful for healing. We're experiencing that already. We've had a few very close friends who've walked. Yeah, it's been amazing, you know. Your kindness to us in this season, letting us have 2 months to figure things out and sort through the mess. We're just overwhelmed, you know, but hopeful, because that has created space for, I think, my wife and I to face some things that we've needed to face. And a healing work has begun. It's a long-term thing, but I'm hopeful, yeah.
Thanks. Obviously, we feel the weight, like it's of not being an easy decision for you or for your family. Can you maybe kind of walk us through kind of like how you got to that point for you? Like, how'd you get to the point where you're like, I need to step out of something that I love in order to step into what God's inviting me to?
Yeah, for about the last year, probably January 2024, I would describe Catherine and my relationship as a renaissance. We've kind of begun to fall in love again, and I'll tell you about again, why there was an again part to that. We had for a lot of years just operated in parallel worlds. She's a super smart, beautiful, professional woman. She did her life. I was pastor and leader, and I did my life, and we had grown significantly apart, I think, over that time. And so about a year ago, God just started to stir love in us for each other again, and it was very, I would say it was unexpected, I would say it was surprising, I would say it was awesome. I would sit with the advisory team. Some of you guys are here today. I know a couple are spring breaking right now, but I would sit with the advisory team and at our meetings, and I'd say, Catherine and I are doing great, you know. So that was about a year ago that started to happen. We just have our love has been growing, and then what's interesting though is when your love starts to grow, you start to get more honest, and we started to be honest about stuff that we previously had been compartmentalizing, sweeping under the rug, ignoring. And again, we've been doing that for decades. And so as the honesty happened, it was like, man, it was a sledgehammer emotionally for us. Painful is not a strong enough word. Just very, very significant. And so as we started to feel that, as we started to get honest, we began, I took a break, I stepped back, and as we went through the last 2 months, with a break, it just became apparent that there was a lot of work that needed to happen in our marriage and healing that wasn't going to just go away. Our dear friends we'd three couples that were really counselors to us, godly people who loved Jesus, and they were saying, you need to step down. My wife was saying, you need to step down. The Holy Spirit was saying, you need to step down. And I was sort of like, but maybe I don't, you know, because I didn't want to. I love this church. I so believe in the vision and what's happening here. I love all of you. There's just this, I was trying to figure out a way to make it work. And so my wife said, well, have you studied the scripture? Have you looked at what the Bible might say about this? I'm the pastor, you know, I'm supposed to say that to you. And she's like, have you studied the scriptures? And so I said, it's a little bit embarrassing because I think I know what the Bible says, but I'll do that. Opened up Ephesians 5:23, 5:28. Husbands, love your life. Love your wife the way Christ loved the church and lay your life down for her. 5:28. Care for your wife as you care for your own body. Love your wife as you love your own body. And I was like, man, I'm not doing that right now. I haven't been doing that. And then 1 Peter 5:3. Is kind of some instructions for pastors, and it says the pastors are supposed to be an example. And I'm like, man, if I'm going to be, I'm not a good example of a husband who's doing this, who's laying his life down. And it was really, my time in the scriptures was literally, it was like 15 minutes, and I was like, yeah, I need to resign. And so the Holy Spirit spoke through godly people, through my wife, through his spirit to me, but also just directly through the word. And so that's how I got there. That was the question, right? Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good. No, I appreciate that. It is funny how our spouses can often point us to scripture when we don't want to look because we know the answer. I'm wondering in this last, couple months and kind of even as you've, made the decision to step away, like if there's any like key lessons or anything that like has stood out to you that's like, hey, this has been valuable. Like this is something I was missing.
I mean, this is where I could talk for a long time. So I'll try to be brief. One of the main things I've been learning in this season is to face my fears. Fears of, in a marriage relationship, my wife's anger, pain, hurt. facing that and not minimizing it and compartmentalizing it and not avoiding it or running from it. Facing the fear of not having this identity as a pastor, you know? What's that look like? What's that mean? How's that going to feel? Facing the fear of provision. I've been doing this for like 30 years. So how, you know, my resume doesn't exactly like scream like this guy has marketable skills in the, in, you know, in the marketplace. It doesn't. So what am I going to do? What am I going to, I'm not leaving for another church. I'm not leaving for another bigger, better ministry thing. I'm probably, you know, if Costco calls back, I'll go to work there. I mean, that's seriously, like, that's kind of where I'm at. So that's a huge fear, you know, like a step of faith to jump in. And so facing some of those fears has been, and then I think the fear of just, I was just telling Kathy this last night. I realized that my strategy for coping with life is to compartmentalize things. In fact, as we've begun marriage counseling, we had to do this PTSD thing. I'm not going to go into the details because you don't want to hear it. But the my post-traumatic stress response to pain in the world or trauma in life is to compartmentalize things. It's to put things into, and it's how I manage. It's not just how I manage difficult things. It's how I manage my life. It's how I control my life. It's been a strategy, a coping strategy for me. And like, that's all like blown up now. So that has created a ton of fear. Like, how am I gonna go through life like actually dealing with stuff that I've been able to previously compartmentalize? So yeah, fear, facing my fear. I think that's probably the biggest thing. And you know, perfect love drives out fear. 1 John. I think you guys are going through 1 John. I mean, you're going to get there. I think it's chapter 3 or 4. You know, the love of God drives out fear. So I can actually trust the love of God more than my ability to manage my life and control it. That's super scary. But that's the invitation of the Holy Spirit to face that fear.
It kind of piggybacked on my follow-up question on that one, but with the idea that, like, I think for a lot of us that resonates, right? Like the idea that if I have to be honest with where I'm at, whatever it's in, whether it's a marriage or it's a work or my identity, and there's an element of fear there, and I guess like you're facing that. It seems like, and I'm wondering, it, like, you kind of hinted at it, but is there more to that, like, what does it look like to actually confront that fear for you? What has been, you know, because I think there's that fear of we're going to lose everything, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm honest, and I think it's a trap that we can all feel, and it's a trap that often, really, we see it in our leaders, where we stay in that heightened sense of like, I've got to protect myself, because, and there's a fear that like, if I'm honest, bad things are going to happen.
I'll say two things. I'll say what I think it looks like and personally, but then I'll give a metaphor that maybe explains it a little better. I think what it looks like for me, in just in response to your question, is not learning to not be defensive, learning to not be critical, learning to receive a grievance, especially from Kathy, but learning to receive a grievance and simply say, just to receive it and say, I'm sorry, you know, I own that. I'm sorry you feel that way. That sounds horrible. Instead of defending, minimizing, That's been a big part of it. The metaphor, I think, I just want to clear something up too. Like there's a sense in which, you know, if I was in your shoes, i.e. part of Main Street Church, part of me would be wondering like, well, what's he doing for 2 months, you know? Like, we got a church to lead and run, you know? And I felt that way. I was like, what am I doing? You know, a couple weeks into this, I was like, not sure what to do. And so I asked Kathy, I said, is there anything I can do around the house, like that just kind of on your honey-do list that has been neglected or whatever? And she's like, could you clean out the refrigerator in the garage? I was like, yeah, sure. I could do that. That seems, you know, easy. And it will kill some time. So I went out to the garage and I started to, you know, wipe down a couple, like an old soda can had exploded in there, and there were just some things that, you know, you get it, right? Refrigerators are disgusting if you leave them untended and you leave old food in there. And so I'm cleaning it out. I'm taking all the old food out, throwing it away, starting to wipe things down. And then I wiped down a couple walls in the inside of the fridge, and I'm like, this isn't going to cut it. I got to actually take this thing apart. Like, I got to take all the shelves out. I got to take out all the drawers. And I got to, if this is going to get cleaned up, there's no shortcuts, right? And that's exactly where our marriage is at. There's just no shortcut. I'm the king of shortcuts. Not with things that, you know, like electrical work that, you know, is going to start a fire. But I, particularly when it comes to emotional pain, particularly when it comes to relational tension, disruption, I'm like, how can I move through this? Actually, how can I move around this as fast as possible to get, you know, to feel better so I can move on with my life? And, you know, that's not going to clean the mess. You got to take it apart. And what became really apparent as I cleaned the fridge that day was that for our marriage to be healthy going forward, I have to lay down ministry. For us to be following Jesus together, and for us to be, I think what we want for the future, to have a pattern of like where we trust each other and we love each other and we're, you know, someday we're praying that God gives us grandkids and, you know, we're like, for that to happen, we have to lay this down, this job down. It's not the job's fault. It's probably the way that I did it more is to blame. But that had to be removed. I had to lay down ministry in order to see my marriage, you know, start some new patterns and build a new foundation for the rest of our lives together.
Thanks for sharing that. I do love the freezer analogy. I don't want to clean mine. I wonder, I mean, it felt heavy, but I also know that God's meeting you in this time. Like, that there has been some things that have been confirming, like, and, you know, we didn't really discuss this ahead of time, but I, like, you know, what are some ways that God's showing up right now for you in the last couple months? And just both, it's confirming things, but it's also, like, how you're seeing kind of the beauty of God in your actively working in your life and marriage.
Yeah, I would say I'm learning to turn toward Kathy in ways that I've never done before. So as my heart gets reoriented, we read in a book, there's a turning toward each other that's happening in our marriage, and that feels like a miracle. We've actually both said that's a miracle. Yeah. God's doing that in us, teaching us how to turn toward each other, trust each other, lean into the relationship, be angry at each other, be frustrated, and not just gloss over that. That's been huge. I would say. And that's just a total work of Jesus. You know, I think it piggybacks, I wanted to talk a little bit about my calling too. I think it kind of piggybacks on this. And I love how you set this up. You know, when I was sitting over there, you talked about the God does work in leaders. He doesn't just work in the organized expression of the church. He works in leaders, right? And we've seen that personally. We've seen that in how our hearts are moving toward each other. But also, I felt so called, and the feeling, I can't honestly say that it feels like it's gone. Like, I don't feel uncalled from Main Street, but I know I have to do this. But I felt so called here. I mean, you've heard the story that I've always been watching, you know, back in the day when it was Compass Church and watching God work there and kind of always dreaming about, you know, someday maybe I'll work there. Someday maybe I'll have the opportunity to serve in that context. What God laid on my heart for this church was this prayerful dependence, this multiplying and sending church, where a lot of the work that happens in the church wouldn't happen in this room necessarily on Sunday mornings, but it would happen out in the community and homes as we make disciples. And like, I feel so called to that. And yet there's this, and I believe in that. I just believe in it. But I also recognize that as God called me here, he gave me even more than I ever dreamed. Because what I dreamed about was church stuff. It wasn't even on my radar that God would do a new work in my marriage. It wasn't even on my radar. Like, I didn't see that coming at all. We came and, you know, responded, and then this starts to happen, and it was like, what does it look like? How does God both begin to forgive and heal a marriage or a leader in the church and simultaneously use that leader, you know, to do the work that God called him or her to do? And I think that the scripture that was just reminded, burned into my brain, was Matthew 16:18, where Jesus said to Peter, he said, I tell you, you're Peter. You're not Simon anymore, you're Peter. I'm going to give you a new name. Your name means rock. So Peter means, you know, rock or little rock, Petra. And Peter, he says to Peter, you got a new name, and I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church on you, Peter, who, frankly, your personality and your past and even future behavior with Peter, his denial of Jesus, like, you're still a rock, and I'm still going to build my church on you, even though you're a broken man, even though you're a, you know, you got issues, dude. And I've just been reminded, like, that only Jesus can build his church and redeem a leader at the same time. It's remarkable how Christ does that. And that's what I'm experiencing. That's what I'm seeing with Main Street and in my own life. And so for that, I'm just grateful. And I recognize calling is not just simply about what I do. It's about the work that Jesus is doing in me. One last thing on this, and I'll give you the microphone back. I had a mentor years ago who said, when you plant a church, it's about as much as, I'm going to butcher it because I'm trying to do it spur of the moment here. It's not just about the work God wants to do through you. It's even more about the work he wants to do in you. And man, I wish that this was work that didn't have to happen in my life, but I'm so glad it's happening at the same time.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, honestly, like, I do see a lighter, like, as heavy as this feels for us when I hear you talk, is I feel the weight going away. Like, there's a person in our church that has said it both to Jason and to me, that he said that, "I think Jason was brought here to launch Main Street, like, and he did the work that God called him to. And now it's time for Jason to do the next work and let Main Street continue to do what God's called them to do." And I love that because I think it speaks to this idea that, it's okay. It's okay to say, "Hey, I need to step away," because we're first called to God and then our family. Like, there is no higher calling. And when we start to put other things in front of that, we're not actually being faithful at that point. And so I really appreciate your heart and what you're sharing. And I know it's going to be a hard season, but as a church, I feel like we're behind you. And we want to support you. And in a way, I kind of look at it as it's not so much that you're leaving us as much as it is we are sending you. That wholehearted sending vision that you've casted over the last year or 6 months has been about this idea that sometimes to let go of people that we value, that have significant impact, means we have to let go of people that we really want to be here. And if we're going to hold on to people that tightly, we maybe miss what God can do through us or through that person. I'm confident that God is going to continue to work in you and Catherine's marriage and life, as well as preparing you for what's next. Along those lines, I guess I'm going to kind of skip to our last question, but just what is it as a church, or how as a church can we just come along and support you? Like, obviously not going to be here, but what are some things that feel helpful or for us?
Thank you. Yeah, I've again been just overwhelmed with your emails, text messages, warmth, your prayers. Really grateful. It's been a blessing for both of us. We felt a lot of love from this church, and we've also felt a lot of freedom for God to work in us. So that's amazing. That's a gift, and thank you. I would just say continued prayer. We met with a couple friends last night, and they were talking about how, he's like, "I don't always know how to pray for people, when they're in a bad spot or in a difficult situation. And I don't know what God wants for them. I don't know if God's going to give them a job with plenty of money or what his plan is, So I don't want to pray that way. I just want to pray that they would know the peace of God." And we feel that peace sometimes, and sometimes we don't. So I would just pray that you'd pray for God's peace for us. Certainly his provision. We're trying to figure out what's next. And really, this was not planned. I don't know if you've gotten that message. So, this was not a planned exit. I don't have, something lined up. Like smart people do, who wisely set up for their fallback plan. I don't have one of those. So there's a real sense of just we're trusting God, praying for his provision. So you can pray for that. I think the other thing, and this is selfishly, I mentioned this earlier, like the trajectory that Main Street is on. I want to be a part of a church like that. I want to be a part of a church that's saying, "Let's go make disciples out in the world." We visited a few churches the last several weeks, and it's great to go into a room when there's 1,000 people and worship's awesome, and you just feel the Spirit moving. I love that. But I don't find myself longing to be a part of that kind of a church. I find myself longing to be a part of a church that's like mobilizing people like crazy. And that's really the thing. It's they're not like saying, hey, come and serve our organization. They're saying, hey, we want to serve you to go be a blessing in the community. We want to mobilize you. And I'm not pitting one against the other. I hope you don't hear me saying that. But that's just what we long to be a part of, what I long to be a part of. And so just pray that God would, in his time, just show me what that looks like. I don't think I'm uncalled for ministry. I just think I'm not going to be doing it for a paycheck for a while. Maybe for the rest of my life. I have no strategy to re-enter into that paradigm. Again, not because it's a bad paradigm, but because it's just something that God is, he's calling me away from that, and yet simultaneously I don't know what he's calling me to yet. I think that describes it. So you can pray for his direction as it relates to my calling. I'll say one other thing. This is Jesus's church. It always has been. And it was never mine. It was never Jason's thing. It was never I never wanted it to be that. And now that's being tested, right? Like I do feel for Main Street, like the timing of this could have been, like, from my perspective, better. You know? But I keep going back to God knew what he was doing. He wanted to plant a church and heal a marriage. And he's doing both of those things. I'm just trusting that. So
thank you. I appreciate you coming back and sharing with us. I think the lessons that you are just expressed are, I think they will impact us as we go forward in ways that, where we get to see God show up. So I appreciate that. I want to kind of just wrap up this time, and before we go back into worship, I would love to pray for you and Catherine, and I'd ask Monty to come up to. Monty's our district superintendent for the Alliance Northwest for our denomination. And you know, we want to pray over you guys. And our hope, I think, is that God continues the work that he has begun, and that you know, whatever happens here in this community, it's not lost, the work that you have done while you've been here, and it's also not lost on the testimony that you're giving, that's setting an example for how we should be moving forward as a church. So I appreciate you both. I'm going to turn it over to Monty.
There was a text that's been floating through my head for both you, and I think in the last 5 minutes, Jay, of what you're sharing. I think it's for Main Street too, but it's a text you'll be familiar with. Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you, he'll be faithful. He'll be faithful to complete it until Jesus returns. I was just going over and over in my mind for both of you. You were called, and God had different plan for you in the call, and it's a better plan in many ways, right? And but God is up to something here too still, and he's the faithful one. And as I pray over you both, just ask you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in and let it out, because Abba, we need you. In this space, in this place, and Jason and Kathy, right now, over you, I pray for that very thing, Jason, that you asked for, shalom. I pray that your hearts and your minds would be buffeted with peace, with the peace of God, that your minds would continue to be renewed and healed, that your hearts would be renewed and restored. And Father, I pray over the learnings that both Jason and Kathy have stepped into, that you would continue those and continue to create that safe space to continue to be honest, to be for each other, to outserve and outlove each other. And God, we thank you for the new journey that you invited them on. And so now we ask you to hold them, to love them, to continue that healing process in and through them. So today, we also ask you to hold our hearts as we lend them in prayer to Jason and Kathy as they step into this next part of their journey, which is unknown and scary. And Father, that's not a place most of us like to be, and I'm sure they don't either, but we trust you, and we trust that you're at work. And today, I just ask that you give both Jason and Kathy the extended faith to cling to your word in Philippians, to trust that you're at work, you're the one who will complete it. You will be faithful to them. So we love you, and we pray the Father's richest blessings over both of you in Trinity. We pray Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Amen.
I want to invite the worship team up. We're going to, there's never an easy transition, but we're gonna enter into a time of time for us to respond. And one of the ways that we respond on Sundays is getting to take communion together. And I think it's a fitting opportunity of response, because it gives us the opportunity to recognize that the work that is being done in Jason happens because of what Christ did on the cross. The work that happens in us is what happens because of the transformation and the promise that God gave us when he said that the old will be made new and we will be restored to what God has designed for us. And so as we go to worship, I realize that your guys' sound is all off at the moment. I will turn it on. But as we go into worship, I would love for us just to, as we get up to take communion, that we just take a chance to just reflect on that idea that when we're taking the bread and we're dipping it in the wine or the juice, it's juice, that we're just being reminded of the work that Christ does in us. Let's go to worship.